Well, if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 12 today. Luke chapter 12. The last couple Sundays, I've been asking Brian, I said, are you ready for your class that you're going to do? And he would say things like, I don't know that I'll ever be ready. I don't know that I'll ever be ready. And I agree. If I spent all of my waking hours all week long working on a message for Sunday morning, I think I would come to the end of that week and still say, I don't know that it's completely ready yet. Completely ready. There's always more that I could change in it, more that I could do to it, more that I could take out. The longer I write on it, the longer the message gets, so then I have to start taking stuff out and saving it for a different message. And so I would never say it's ready. But I think about it's hard to say when a thing is fully ready. Right? It's hard to say when a thing is fully ready. Even the house that's being built. We had our house built in January of 2004 in Omaha. And that house, we closed on it and we got to move in. But guess what? That house wasn't ready yet. Even though it was move-in ready, it wasn't ready yet. We didn't have a yard. Because how many know you can't put sod down in January? Right? Can't put grass down in January. Our roof was put on in December and January. And throughout the spring, the summer, and then throughout the next year or two, the wind, because it gets windy in Omaha, the wind kept blowing up our shingles. And we had to have them keep coming out and fixing it again and again and again. And it just kept happening. And so our house was never really ready or done. It just continued to have, it was in a state of continual readiness. And last week I talked about a different message, rather a message on being different as a believer. And the effect of hearing and receiving the gospel message changes us and causes us to look different than the world around us. It makes a change in our lives. And that stems from, Paul said there in Colossians 1, a hope or a blessed hope, as Titus, as he refers to in the book of Titus, a blessed hope that we look forward to when Jesus returns. That's our blessed hope, that he's coming back. He's coming back, praise God. But that brings up a question. Are we ready for him to come back? Are we ready for the blessed hope to come to fruition? That's what we're going to talk about this week. So if you got your Bibles, Luke 12 is where we're at. We're going to start reading in verse 35. If you're there, say I'm there. You ready? Say let's go. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching. Someone say watching. There we go. Watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready. Someone say ready. There we go. Even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. And Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing, someone say doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour when he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Father, I thank you for your word today. There's a lot of stuff in this word, God, in this passage, and so I pray, Lord, for the next few minutes, would you help me to unpack those things that you want to have shared today? Lord, help me to say them in a way that all of us, including myself, need to hear them. Lord, would you show us what is on the heart, your heart today? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message today is, Are You Ready? Are You Ready? Let me ask you, is your house ready for guests right now? If I said, Judy, can we all come over to your house today after church and hang out? Would that excite you? Or would it cause you stress? Right? Yeah. Would you have to leave right now to go get everything ready and throw stuff in the bedrooms and close the doors and stuff like that? That's what we'd have to do. That's what we have to do. Put everything away. Do some fast cleaning before anybody gets there. But I think of Zacchaeus in Luke 19 and verse 5. Jesus told him to come down from the tree. Zacchaeus, he was a wealthy tax collector. That's who he was. And he was a short man, and he couldn't see Jesus, but he wanted to see Jesus, so he climbs up in a sycamore tree, right? You know the story? You know the song? Climbs up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, and as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in that tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Anyway, Jesus told him to come down from the tree because he was going to stay at his house. And I love the fact that Jesus knew his name. Jesus knew his name. He didn't say, hey, man, up there in the tree. He says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus, come down. I wonder what kind of house he kept. Well, he was a wealthy guy. So he probably had a big house, but he also probably had a bunch of servants that took care of that kind of thing for him. So he didn't have to worry about it. He's like, yeah, come on. Come on, Jesus, come on over. But for you and me today, we may not so quickly agree that we are ready for house guests. And in the same way, I asked, do you feel like you're ready right now in this moment for Jesus to return? Especially when we read a scripture like we read today about being ready and being caught unaware. Does it cause fear? As you ask the question, am I ready? DC Talk wrote a song, I wish we'd all been ready. And in that song, they talk about there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind, right? There will come a day, maybe in our lifetime, may not be, but there will come a day when Jesus comes back. He returns and takes all of those who have called on his name and are saved to come to heaven with him, okay? Like we read today in Luke 12 and verse 40, the Son of Man will come in an hour when we do not expect him. Like the house guest that you weren't expecting. Or the whole army of us coming over this afternoon that you weren't planning on. Not actually happening today. But that question comes to the forefront. What if I'm not ready when he returns? Because it sounds like he's going to be coming unexpectedly. What if I'm caught unaware? I can be caught unaware. When door-to-door salespeople come to my house, I can be caught unaware. Right? How do we get ready? Or how do we know that we're ready? That's a very good question. Thank you for asking it. How about we talk about that today? In our scripture today that we read, in context, Jesus is talking to his disciples with a large crowd around him. In fact, it says in Luke 12, 1, it says many thousands. Can you imagine? Many thousands surrounding around the disciples and Jesus when he's having this conversation with them. And this crowd we know is listening because in verse 13 of Luke chapter 12, someone in the crowd asked Jesus a question in the middle of his teaching. And he says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about, but they're there. They're listening to him speak, and they're like, hey. So we know that the crowd is listening. And also because in verse 41, Peter asks Jesus to clarify if this parable is meant for the disciples or for the crowd around them. And I think it's interesting that Peter, a follower of Jesus Christ, chosen by Jesus, called by Jesus to be an apostle, asks the question, is this something we need to worry about, Jesus? Or no? Are we disciples good? Are we followers of Christ good? Are we good? And you're just talking to the crowd right now? Is that what's going on right here? If a disciple of Christ is asking the question whether what Jesus is saying is intended for them or not, shouldn't every follower of Christ be asking this question as well? Do I need to make sure I'm ready too? Or am I already ready? I'm going to submit to you that he is meaning for everyone to hear what he is saying. Everyone. He's focused on his disciples, but he's meaning for everyone to hear, both believers and unbelievers. So, how will we know that we are ready? Let's look at what Jesus had to say about it. Verse 35, Luke 12. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good, each time he says one of these three things that we're going to talk about today, he says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Watching, that's number one today. Watching. So my son Corbin does out the windows of our house. He's always watching people go by, and he's reporting to the rest of us, this is what's happening outside right now. He even watches animals. You know, he's got a ringneck pheasant in the back field behind our yard, yeah. That he says he calls it his ringneck pheasant. Oh, there's my ringneck pheasant again. He's watching. He's watching all the time, with and without binoculars. If you happen to go by our house, you may see Corbin with binoculars looking out the window at you. Okay? Or just looking out the window. He's a watchman, yes. But it's not just the watching that Jesus is talking about here. Rather, than it's the preparation that happens prior to the watching. The servants, Jesus say, need to be dressed and ready for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they can open the door for him. What are you saying? You saying that we're supposed to be dressed all the time and keep our lights on at night? Just in case? No. This is what I believe Jesus is telling us here. No matter what we are doing in life, no matter what is going on in our lives, we need to be looking for Jesus to show up. How do we do that? Let me give you an example. Years ago, I think it was 2010, I was finishing my first season at Scott's Lawn Service, and I had my first layoff that I've ever had in 2010. I was in a seasonal layoff, and so I was in the process of learning how to do unemployment and that kind of thing and trying to figure that out, and I had no money. I had no money, but I was going to see a friend because I had time because I wasn't working. I was going to see a friend in the middle of the day, and I was driving to his house, and I had grabbed some, my mom had made fudge, and given us some fudge, and I was like, well, I should bring something if I'm going over to my friend's house. So I grabbed some of the fudge that she gave, and I put it next to me in the seat in the car, and I was driving to his house, and I get off of the interstate, and I pull up to the stop light on the off-ramp, and there's a gentleman over here with a sign. And the Holy Spirit just began to kind of poke at my heart a little bit. I was like, oh, I want to give him something, but I have absolutely no cash. I don't have anything to give him. And I can't really go to the store and get something. I suppose I could, but I don't have any money. I'm trying to save it for my family right now, right? And so, but he just is speaking to me, and I looked down, and I'm like, oh, I have some fudge. And the light changed, and I had to go. And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go back, and I'm going to give him some fudge, because that's all I got. That's all I got. I'm going to give him some fudge. And so I call my friend, which I know I'm going to be late if I turn around. I call my friend, and I say, hey, look, this is the situation. There's a guy there. I feel like I'm supposed to go and talk to him, and I've got some fudge, so I'm going to give him some fudge because I don't have anything else. And he said, well, how about you come pick me up, and we'll go to Burger King, and I'll get a meal, and then you can go give it to him. And I'm like, okay, sure, that sounds good. So go pick him up. We go to Burger King, get a meal, come back, park my car on the other side of the off-ramp, get out, and I walk over to him, and I begin to talk to him. And I said, hey, I just want to bless you with this. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. And he begins to eat. At the same time, a police officer drives up, and the police officer comes up and says, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Grabs the sign from him, rips it in half, and says, get on your way. Doesn't even acknowledge me at all. I'm just like, oh, okay. Am I okay? I'm not in trouble? Okay. Didn't tell me to leave, so I kind of just stood there, and he gathered up his stuff, and I didn't even get to pray for him. I'm like, well, God bless you, as he's walking away. And he crosses the off-ramp, and there's a bridge on the other side that's a few stories above the ground. So there's a sidewalk along the bridge. And so he starts walking on this bridge, and it's a ways down there. It's a few stories tall, and so it's going down. And so I hop back in my car, and I begin to drive that way. And as I'm driving that way, I look over, and he's nowhere to be found. There is no guy on this bridge. He's just suddenly gone. Just disappeared. And I realized that God was asking something of me in that moment. He was checking what was in my heart. We can even entertain angels unawares, is what the Bible says. Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus is saying this, and he says, then the king will say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Here's the point. To get ready for his return, we need to look for him working today, right now. He is doing things right now in our midst. We need to be looking for him today so that we know how to look for him when he comes back. Amen? Yes. If we respond when the unexpected happens by looking to him, listening to what his Holy Spirit may nudge us to do in those moments, we will better be able to recognize when he comes unexpectedly. Got it? Are we watching for what Jesus is doing right now? If so, we will be watching for him when he returns. So that's number one, watching. Number two, be ready. Verse 38, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. You ever been to a restaurant that was disorganized? You know, like a fast food restaurant? You walk up to the till and there's nobody there to wait on you because they're all busy doing other things. And as you're standing there waiting to be waited on, you happen to glance at the dining room and you see stuff all over the tables. Nobody's been out to the dining room to clean the tables off or clean the chairs off or anything like that. And eventually someone waits on you and then you go over to the soda fountain machine and you realize that there's no lids or there's no straws. You ever been there? And what comes up in your mind maybe is like, oh, this place is a mess. It's disorganized. I'm never coming to this place again, right? Or it may also be, huh, they weren't ready for me to show up. They weren't ready for me to show up. Now contrast that with the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. Okay, I've never been to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, but I hear it's nice. But 10 years ago, I was at a global leadership summit. And the president of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel was sharing about how they do things, how they operate, what their operations are. And he says, when you pull up there, there's a valet parker, a valet person that's coming to pick up your car. And as they're picking up your car, they're radioing to the front desk saying that Mr. Gerbic is here, and he's wearing a black shirt, black long-sleeve shirt with blue jeans. Okay, and so then they go and park the car. So by the time that Mr. Gerbic gets to the front desk, the clerk behind there says, good evening, Mr. Gerbic. We've already got your room taken care of for you. It's ready to go. We have a bellhop here waiting for you to take you up to your room. And then as you're on the way up the room, maybe Mr. Gerbic forgot that he didn't bring his swim trunks. He's like, oh, I forgot to bring my swim trunks. You need some swim trunks? Tell me what size, the bellhop says, because they're authorized to purchase anything that their clients need, their customers need, up to a certain dollar amount. And they go and just take care of that for you. Whatever it is that you need, they just go get it. Okay? Quite the difference, right? They were ready. They were ready. Here's the point. Getting ready for his return means getting our lives in order. Maybe not a restaurant, maybe not a hotel, but getting our lives in order. We have some stake in the game here too. At the moment of salvation, his blood covers all of our sin. Jesus' blood died for us on the cross. His blood covers us. It covers us from all iniquities, all of our things that we've ever said, thought, or done wrong. It washes us clean. So that we may stand before him, as Paul told the believers in Colossae, blameless, without fault, and free from accusation. And just so you know, the accusation does not come from the Lord himself. Revelation 12:10 tells us that the accuser of the brethren is the devil, who stands before our Father day and night to accuse us of all the things that we've ever said, thought, or done wrong. But we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so that moment of salvation, that doesn't mean, at that moment, then Jesus washes us clean, but that doesn't mean that we can go back to living how we were living before that. We talked about last week, we got to be different. We need to ask God on a regular basis to search our hearts, like he says in Psalm 139. See if there be any wicked way in me. See if there be any offensive way in me. Anything that stands in the way of me being ready for your return. To live in a state of openness before the Lord so that he may expose those things that need to be dealt with. So that when he returns, which he will, then you and I, with his help, will have dealt with them. And that's the key there. With his help. He's not asking you to clean up your life before you can come to him. He's not. And instead, he's coming to us with a broom and a dustpan. And he says, I'm not afraid of your mess. I'm not afraid of it. I'm here to help. I'm here to clean up the mess with you. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to get your life in order by yourself. You come to me. You come to me broken. You come to me empty. You come to me not perfect. And I'm going to come and help you clean it up. You need my help, he says. We don't need to wait. We come to him right now. Getting ready for his return means getting our lives in order. Sorry if Anna needed to use that this week. I hit it. So, getting ready means watching. Getting ready means getting our lives in order. And number three, getting ready means doing. Verse 42. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Watching and getting our lives in order doesn't mean inactivity. I just give up. Okay, Jesus, just come back now. I don't want to have any more. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to wait for you to come back. No, is that how it works? No. As we go through our days, watching for Jesus to show up or when he comes back, we also have our day-to-day things that we got to take care of. We got to brush our teeth. We got to comb our hair if we have hair. Eric isn't here today, so I couldn't give that one to him. Bummer. We got to take a shower every once in a while. We got to engage. If we're students, we got to engage in schoolwork. We got to get our work done. If we got a job, we got to get it done and do it well. We got to do our jobs. But in all of it, our perspective is to be serve God in what he has provided for our hands to do. Serve God in what he has provided for our hands to do. Colossians 3 and verse 23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. When you're working at your job, it is Jesus that you are serving. When you're serving anywhere in the community, it is Jesus you are serving. When you're going to school, it is Jesus that you are serving. Everything that we do to get ready for his return, we got to be faithful where we're at. As Paul encouraged the believers in Galatia, let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. Like I talked about last week with John the Baptist, getting ready means that we are in the continual progression of him becoming greater in our lives and us becoming less. That's what getting ready means. But there's a warning here. Verse 45. Suppose the servant says to himself, self? My master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. I'm going to submit to you, this is what's happening in our world today. Not specifically the beating part, but the belief that there are no consequences for the sinful things that you and I do. Brian mentioned this scripture last weekend in his class, 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. It says this, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. Are you seeing anywhere in the last days, Pastor? We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. That means that Jesus has only been gone 2 days, okay? We're in the last days. We're in the last days. Scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. The world today has lost its fear of the Lord. Like how in a city riot, people know that the police can't stop them all, and so they go and bust up things they wouldn't normally. They go and steal things they wouldn't normally, because why? Because there's no consequences. There's no consequences. But Peter doesn't stop there. He's not only is he making an observation here, he says in verse 5, he says, but they, those who say, where is this coming? Everything goes on since it has since the beginning. I don't have any consequences I have to pay today because nothing's ever happened in the last 2,000 years. He says, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. There was a great flood, and it was in the days of Noah, and only 8 people were saved. Verse 7, by that same word, the present heavens and earth, that would be now, us, present heavens and earth, are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. That's what's to come if we don't know Jesus. And this day will come, as Jesus said back in Luke 12, verse 46, where the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. One day, Jesus Christ will return. And he will take with him all of those who are in the process of making or keeping their lives ready. Those who are watching for him. Those who are continuing to do the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. Do good works get us into heaven? No. But God has prepared good works for his people to do. And as he is faithful to us, we need to be found faithful, faithfully living that out before him. But for everyone else, Jesus says, they will be cut to pieces and assigned a place with the unbelievers. Glad to hear you shouting today about this message. This is good. That's a scary thought, though. It's a scary thought because he's saying it to believers or those who say that they're believers and unbelievers alike. But here's the hope in this. If you're concerned about this, Jesus told Zacchaeus after he went to his house, and Zacchaeus repented and said, I'm going to give back 4 times anything that I've cheated anybody, and I'm going to give away half of my wealth to the poor. Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today. And he finishes by saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save the lost. Here's the point. The one who tells us to be ready is the same one who wants all of us to be found. Every single one of us. Luke 12 and verse 32 says, do not be afraid, Jesus said, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's been pleased to give you the kingdom. He wants you and I to enter his kingdom. That's his heart. You know, we talk about not figuring out what I'm supposed to do, but finding out what pleases the Lord. That comes from Ephesians 5:10. Finding out what pleases the Lord. It pleases him to see his children enter into his kingdom. Both at salvation now as we become a part of the kingdom that's advancing in our day, and at the time when our life on this earth is done, when we get to go and be in the heavenly kingdom, when there is no more sorrow or crying or pain. Praise God. And so while this parable is a warning for everyone, even those who begin to watch, begin to get ready, and begin to do in the very last hour, that's for them as well, the heart of our God is not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance, for everyone to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And he is the one who bends over backwards. Our God bends over backwards and gives us opportunities to accept him. He surrounds us with his creation. He gives us his word that we may see his invisible qualities showing up in our lives and in the lives of those around us. He continues to take care of us. He continues to give us breath. He continues to give us the ability to think and to act and to move and to do all the things that we get to do every single day. He gives us those abilities because he wants us to say, hey, this is a gift to you. I love you. I want you to come to me. I want to do this together. I want to pick up my broom and my dustpan and say, I'm not afraid of your mess. I'm here to help. He helps us to be ready. And so our focus is not on getting to a point where we feel like we are ready for his return, okay? But to keep ourselves in the process of him becoming greater in our lives and us becoming less. Here's the main point today. Prepare to be ready. Prepare to be ready. Prepare to be ready. Are you prepared? Like I said earlier, Brian and I, we don't think we'll ever be ready in the messages or the classes that we're putting together. But we can prepare. We can prepare. If we keep watch for him, if we continually get our lives ready, get our lives in order, as he searches us and reveals the things to us that need to be repented of, as we keep on doing the good works that he's prepared for us to do, then we will be ready for the fulfillment of that blessed hope and for Jesus to come back at any hour. Amen? Amen. As we close today, a big part of getting ready for Jesus to return is making the decision to follow Jesus, to ask him into our hearts. Salvation came to Zacchaeus' home on the day that Zacchaeus was told to come down from the tree. It's our desire to welcome Jesus into our lives, to continue to walk with him, to continue to ask him, I need help with my mess. Or do you feel compelled to, well, I still got to clean up an aisle 5 over there. I got to take care of it in my life. You feel like I got to clean that up first. I was talking to a gentleman that came in here a month or two ago, asking for help, asking for assistance. And as I typically do, I sit down with that person and I just kind of start to hear their story. I ask them what their story is. And he begins to go all around about how all the different things that have happened to him in his life that have got him to where he's at today. All the people that have treated him wrong, all the people that have stolen stuff from him, all the people that didn't treat him the way that he should have been treated. And it's as a result of all of them, he's blaming them, that this is why I'm at where I'm at today. So I heard his story. And then I began to share a story with him. And that story is the gospel. And I began to share with him who Jesus Christ is. And I began to share with him out of my own life who Jesus Christ is for me. I began to share with him that he has purpose and he has meaning. And there's things that he can bring out of the bad in his life if he's willing to trust Jesus, if he's willing to love Jesus, if he's willing to give his life for Jesus, lay his life down and all the things that he's trying to do on his own, that he can come to Jesus and discover his purpose, no matter what age he is. Okay? We're still living on this earth. We still have a purpose that God intends to bring out and bring about. Okay? And he says, I know I got some messes I need to clean up. But he's here to help us with those things. And so I asked the guy, after I shared the gospel, I said, are you ready to make that decision today? I could tell that he was listening. I could tell that he was receiving what it is that I was saying. And he'd be like, And we sat there for an hour and a half, guys. An hour and a half we sat there. And I asked him at the end of that, I said, are you ready to make that decision? And his answer was, well, I guess. And I said, oh, no. You don't do this because I say that it's important for you to do. You do this because you've decided in your heart this is what you want to do. Salvation should never be forced, but it should be someone's own free will. We have our own free will to make our own decisions to do the things that we want to do. Speak life or speak death. Curse God and die, or choose to live in the abundant life that he gives us, even if it is hard. Okay? And he said this. He said, I got some things I got to clean up first. I got a mess in aisle 5 I got to go take care of. He didn't say aisle 5, but he's got some things he's got to clean up first. To which I said, there's no reason to wait. Jesus doesn't say, okay, you're done cleaning up the place. You can give me the broom and dustpan back. No. He comes to us again in our mess. He says, come on now. You who are hungry, you who are thirsty, come. Come and drink of the water of life. Come. I'll help you clean up your mess. You don't have to have your life all straightened out to come to me. He wants us to come to him. He's got a broom and a dustpan that look a lot better than this. He says, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't have to get your life in order to come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus, and he will help you get your life in order. Amen? Will you stand with me today? Have you made the decision today? Have you made the decision to follow Jesus Christ? Have you made that decision? Are you walking with him right now? Or have you stepped away? Have you said, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors have passed away, everything has continued on like it has. You've begun to live in a way that you used to live in. Or maybe for you today, you haven't made that decision at all. said, I haven't made that decision to fully surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you the opportunity today, with every eye closed in this place. If you say, I'm ready to make that decision, not because of compulsion or anything like that, because I'm ready and I understand now that I don't have to clean up my mess before I come to Jesus, but I come to Jesus with my mess and he helps me to clean it up. If that's you today, you want to make that decision to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of your life so that he can help you get ready for his return. Or if you want to come back to him today because you've walked away, you've gone back to walking in those old ways again, you've lost your hope, you don't know sure that you believe, and you've turned away from him. If you're ready to make the decision for the first time today, or you're ready to make the decision to come back to him, with every eye closed in this place, I'm just going to ask you quickly to raise up your hand right now. Is there anybody in this place? Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. All right, you can look at me. Bible says that if we declare with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So I'm not gonna put a prayer in your mouth today, for those of you who raised your hands, whether it's for salvation or rededication today. I'm not going to put a prayer in your mouth today, but I'm going to ask you, if this is you today and you want to make that commitment or recommitment today, I'm just going to ask you to declare today what's in your heart. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Make that declaration today. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. That's the first part. Second part is repentance. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, or purify us from all unrighteousness. And so coming to the Lord, first of all, means that we acknowledge who he is. We put him in first place in our lives, and we declare that Jesus is Lord. The second thing is that we need to, in his presence, understand that we are sinful, that apart from him, we have no good thing. And so we need to say, God, I confess, I'm a sinner. And I'm turning away from those things today. That's you today. Just say that. You don't need to say every single sin you've ever said, thought, or done wrong. He knows them all. We just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I've done what's wrong. Please forgive me. Say it in your own words. It's got to come from you, not from me. Jesus, I'm sorry I was wrong. I did these wrong things. Please forgive me. And guess what? You say that out of a heart of repentance, godly sorrow, you're forgiven. That's it. And then he's cleaned you up, but he needs to be in you. He needs to be in your heart. And so we ask him, Jesus, come into my heart. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And so we invite him to come in. We invite him to come and be the Lord of my life. So you say that today, something like that. Just say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, or I invite you to come in. Come in and change me. Make me new. Bring life out of death in my life. And as I just said, as the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. That's it, guys. That's all. If you made the decision today for the first time or as a rededication, welcome to the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God.